Frozen Zero, 318, Southern Draw, Commotion, and Reasonably Corrupt. We are live from the Frozen Zero on the patio. Got the fire pits going, eating oysters, eating Gulf Coast oysters, and talking about Gulf Coast poker. It's Gulf Coast all theme day here, and we're excited to be here. I'm joined once again this segment by Bill Phillips, Gulf Coast Poker, and he has a fantasy question, which is fun. Everybody's got fantasy championship games tomorrow. But Bill, what's your fantasy question?
So the question is, what is the proper etiquette if you are out of contention in, say, a money league, maybe you lose in the playoffs, picking up some money on the waiver wire?
You're out of contention.
If you're out of contention. Like, you have lost, let's say you lost the quarterfinal, but it's the semifinal. Should you not pick up anybody?
Yeah, you should. Yeah. If you're out, but you know what? If it's a keeper league, then I guess you can do it if you have a team the next year. But if you're, like, already done for the year, I could, yeah.
What if you have a side bet, though?
Ooh, I don't have a problem. I actually don't have a problem with it. It's kind of dirty, but it's fun.
Well,
but if you're, like, trying to block someone that's trying to win it.
Well, I did it by accident, not even realizing it was a breach of etiquette. And I was accused, I think, of trying to block him, which was not my intention. And I immediately released him so that he could pick up, I think it was Robbie Gold. And the humorous thing
is, over a kicker?
All this over a kicker. And the humorous thing is, he was like, oh, it's just bad karma now. I'm not going to pick him up. So he ended up not taking him after we had a whole, you know, one of those kind of weird fantasy.
Those weird, like, fantasy snappers. Yeah, I think it's actually okay if you have a side bet. I can understand why they'd be mad, but, like, if you do have side bets before the year, the game's game.
Right.
You know, I think that's kind of a funny dynamic. I've actually never heard of that situation before, because usually when people are out of playoffs, they just don't care.
Right. I mean, I always care. I always want to win. But I think it should be set up that if you were live in the playoffs, that you have preference or priority in the waiver order, so it's not an issue. Like, that makes sense to me. Due to the rule, automated, and then you just prevent somebody like me not knowing.
318-595-1007, the Randolph Smith RCM Realty text line. Still some tickets available to a fun event, the Kilton Bar event is putting on tomorrow. One of our sponsors, Blake Jackson, a part of it. So get this, Brett, it's a $130 ticket, but you meet a great raft in the afternoon, you get two great raft beers, you get a shuttle out from the Happy Farm, it's a barbacoa bonfire. Our good friend Elisa Armand are going to Key Mexico, cooking up a barbacoa bonfire, and they got goat gourmet s'mores from our good friend Blake Jackson with dessert bars, mixing up sponsor and travel back and booze out there for $130. So, you know, if you don't have any plans tomorrow, that sounds like a fun event if you like good food and maybe get out. I enjoy some nice weather on the farm. As for me, I'm going to play the Holiday 400 at the Horseshoe. I'm looking forward to some poker tomorrow myself. We also have, you can play the main event, the Holiday 400, tonight, 6 p.m., or you can play the fights at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. tomorrow. And it all converges. Day 2, Sunday, 11 a.m., and then we have a $250 turbo Sunday at 1 p.m. So I'm going to be around the Horseshoe all weekend. Looking forward to playing some poker this holiday weekend. To try to get some last-minute Christmas shopping with all my nephew and godson at Ashes and Switches this year.
And also, at 4 p.m., you can buy in for $100. Win your way into the $400 seat for that night, just for $100, and get into the big tournament and get a piece of the big prize pool.
Well, we got NFL Week 16 ahead. It starts tomorrow. I love the Saturday triple header tomorrow because, I mean, I hate to come down like this. Look, any football is better than no football. But, you know, the college football bowl game at this point, a little watered down, you know. And so I like the NFL season at the moment. It starts with Houston and Tampa Bay. The Houston Texans can clinch the AFC South with a win. Tampa Bay's red hot. They were 3-7 4 weeks ago, 4 wins in a row. Jameis Winston, maybe going to get franchise tagged or something and still be in Tampa next year the way he's playing. Out 4 weeks ago, I'd have said no chance. I think Bruce Arians said the same, but, I mean, he's just going out there and chunking it. They're without both their star receivers, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, both out for the year. I took over 49 in this game. Regardless of that, I think it's going to be wild. Houston last week played a slugfest in Tennessee. It's a short week. It's great weather in Florida. And I'll tell you what else. I mean, every week I just bet on the Bucks over and the Bills under. Tampa overs are 11-3, but Bills under are 11-3. Tampa overs are 11-1 in their last 12. These games get wild every week. Winston throws it to his team. He throws it to the other team. They can't run the ball, and they push it down the field. It's the best over thing I've ever seen.
Why is it so low? Why is it 49?
I think part of it is because Evans and Godwin may be out. Last week, the Texans played an under last week at 24-21. I thought it should be 51 or 52, though. And the weather looks good in Florida. Houston also on a short week. You know, last year on the Saturday, they played a game against the Jets. This exact Saturday, they played a shootout against the Jets. They won like 41-38 when Darnold went off. So I'm kind of feeling that over. I had a Titans future bet when the AFC South was 5-1. My heart was broken last week when Houston beat them. And Deshaun Watson, they just couldn't get off the field on third down. But Tennessee's still technically in it, but they need a miracle. They need a Houston loss in Tampa. They got to beat an 11-3 Saints team, which I hope they don't. And then they have to win in Houston, week 17. Next game tomorrow, Bills and Pats. Bills 10-4, Pats 11-3. With Trey White. 3-1 great from Shreveport, Green Oaks product, former LSU product, leads the NFL in interceptions his third year. Great to see a local guy, him and Dak Prescott, spoke to the area, tearing it up. Buffalo's got a chance. I mean, I don't think they've won in New England in a long, long, long time. In fact, I can't remember the last time they did it. They've won a couple times at home. But New England needs to win this game. I mean, you're talking about an 11-3 team, but they need that top two seed.
It's the first time in a long time New England kind of looks vulnerable, even though they're three losses.
Yeah, they're three losses, but their offense without Gronk does look a little vulnerable right now. You know, you can look at Brady's whole career, and like, I'm not saying, dude, Brady, six Super Bowls. I'm not sitting here arguing that he is one of the best ever. But when he said Gronk in there versus when he had, I'm talking, it's like he's like the best quarterback ever versus good.
Yeah.
His whole year, his career, when Gronk's been out, it's affected him the whole time. And I think that this year they certainly missed him. Yeah, and Gronk obviously retired last year with multiple Super Bowl rings. And can't fault that, but it just doesn't seem like the offense is the same without him. They've also been having a lot of injuries, juggling receivers. They did score some more points than Cincinnati last week, but New England's offense has been rough all year. And then the night game, the Rams and the Niners. The Niners trying to bounce back from the heartbreaking loss to Atlanta last week. Rams at 8-6. I think the Rams may be done, though. We saw what happened to Dallas last week. They crushed the Rams. I'm hearing Goff and Gurley are fighting. They're again fighting the Rams on the Super Bowl hangover. I kind of think the Niners might get them. We're going to move on. Looking ahead at Sunday, huge game in Nashville for the New Orleans Saints. 11-3. The thing about the Saints that impressed me so much the last few years is they've evolved into a team that can win these road cold weather games. Like the old days, it was like, look out for everybody in the dome, you know, all that. Now, they can run the ball, they can play defense, they can not turn the ball over, they can grind it out. They went 7-1 on the road last year. You know, this game still does concern me because Tennessee's played a lot better since Ryan Tannehill got the job, Mariota, Derrick Henry, you know, one of the NFL leaders in rushing. My old Miss Boy, A.J. Brown, has been crushing it lately. But this should be a heck of a matchup. Saints get a win here. I feel like they'll end up at the top two seed. If you're a Saints fan, you got to cheer for the Vikings Monday night. Nobody wants to go to Lambeau Field during the playoffs. You know, at all. So that's one where, well, actually, we have one person here that wants to. But Saints have a huge one in Tennessee, and I'm excited, very excited about that. I've been a Tennessee roadie all year, but obviously, I'm not going to pull against the black and gold. That would be un-American. And we're gonna bring another guest in to the show. You almost won a World Series bracelet last year. Is that even real?
I got lucky and made it to the final table.
How many people at the start?
About 1,800.
You 1,800? Almost wore a bracelet?
Yeah, finished fourth.
Can't say I've ever done that. That had to be feels pretty good, though, huh?
It was surreal, but it also let me know that all this hard work is paying off and I can do it again.
There you go. We're going, Chris, how do you pronounce your last name?
Kanan,
okay. Chris Kanan joining us here live at Frozen Zero. He's here for the holiday 400 as well. Big Saints fan. Are you the one that always gets the Sean Payton stuff?
Yeah.
Look, yeah, okay. So he wears the Saints visor and looks a lot like Sean Payton. And I printed you on social media before I knew you. I'm like, oh, it's Sean Payton, Saints guy. Yeah, well, hey, you know what? I can think of a lot worse people to be compared to. That's for sure. Are you a diehard Saints fan? Obviously.
Yeah, I've been a season ticket holder since 1993.
Okay, that would answer that.
I've only missed one home game in that set.
Wow. I want to mention then, you mentioned 93. Got to give a shout out to Vaughn Johnson. That old Dome Patrol.
Yeah.
I feel like you know, a lot's been made of him passing, but a lot more needs to be. We all grew up on the Dome Patrol, and four-time Pro Bowler, impact Willing, Ricky Jackson, Sam Mills. That was my childhood, watching those guys run around the patrol. Winning 16, 13 games, Morton Anderson in 3 field goals. And sad to hear of his passing two of them gone now. Makes me very, very sad. How are you feeling about St. Tite tomorrow in Nashville?
I have a really good attitude about it. Let me stop you for just a second. A week or two ago, I actually played a poker tournament with Ricky Jackson.
Okay.
And,
he's like in construction now, I think, right?
He's in trucking.
Okay.
He has a trucking business called the Hall of Fame. H-A-U-L.
It's a great name.
Yeah, really.
The Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's not that good of a poker player, though. He really likes to call a lot. Doesn't do a whole lot of raising or folding. Just a lot of calling.
Well, luckily for Saints fans, he was good at a lot better rushing faster than he was to play poker. Well, how you feel about this game in Tennessee? Tennessee's looking like 55 degrees, no rain at kickoff, too, I think.
I mean, we're going to have to get out to Tannehill. He's really hot right now. And it's really important to get pressure on him early and often.
The Saints' run defense has been great all year, and I think DeMario Davis is a big part of it, but losing Rankins, Davenport, linebacker core beat up right now, I'm a little worried about Henry, even with the running game.
I guess I can see why you would say that, but I feel like this Malcolm Brown is not that big of a drop-off from Sheldon Rankins.
No, he's in the run game, especially. He's a space eater.
Yeah.
Rankins is more of an interior pass rusher.
Trey Henderson also is actually not that big of a drop-off from Davenport. I think Davenport gets out to the quarterback a little bit faster, but Trey Henderson's a load. He draws a lot of holding penalties, just because people can't get their hands on him.
He's made a lot of plays this year. I've been curious to see him transition now into a full-time role because I thought he'd come in as a spot player and give him some energy and boost. But, man, he's played very, very well. That draft class 2017, he's one of the forgotten guys. That whole class.
Jeff Ireland really deserves the credit.
I think he deserves all the credit.
Coming up with big draft class after big draft class, it's really made the defense what it is now.
No, I agree. The 14 through 16, the Saints was 7-9 all 3 years, and like none of those teams. I mean, literally, I think there's like one or two people on the roster from that. Brandon Cooks was the only good pick, and then he got traded. I mean, it was just bust after bust after bust after bust. And then they hired Ireland to fix the scouting. He's certainly done that. Yeah, it's been awesome seeing how much young talent is on this Saints team. How important do you think it is for the Saints to get a top two seed?
It's incredibly important. We really would like to get that top seed because we don't want to have to leave the dome. We just have a lot more success. The crowd is so rowdy this year. It's so loud in there, man. And I've been to a lot of away games this year.
You go on the road too a little bit?
Yeah, actually the only one I've missed so far this year is the Jacksonville game. I'm not going to be at the Tennessee game because I'm here for the holiday for the Hunters.
Well, we're thrilled to have you.
Yeah, but I was in Seattle and I'm sorry, it's just not as loud as the dome.
There's nothing like that Superdome. Well, you were in there Monday night. What a special night it was. Drew Brees passes Peyton Manning's all-time touchdown record. What an irony for him to pass Peyton playing the Colts. Sure. I mean, just full circle. Peyton grows up in NOLA, Colts, passing him in NOLA, the dome. And Drew Brees is like, oh, man, one record's not good enough. I'm just going to go 29 for 30 and break that NFL record, too, which was it looked like a very special night in the dome on Monday.
Yeah, we didn't need that 6-6 this time to make a difference.
And I thought it was hilariously ironic and fitting that Brees, the touchdown pass to Traquan, got called back on the bat. It would be fitting that the record got lost on a bad call, in the dome. I thought that was like a little tinge of irony.
That was actually one moment I got kind of upset in the dome. The crowd got way too loud on offense that last possession. They were so close to wrestling. Usually we're a pretty educated crowd, know when to make noise and when not to. They kind of lost their mind. They really wanted to see get that record.
Yeah, of course. The Saints Monday night game with Breeze Payton, there's so many countless just nights where it's just so special. Last year, the Redskins game, and Breeze broke the record, but they're just it's a different deal when they have those dumb night games. I mean, you look up in these games, and it'll be like a 7-0 or 3-0 game, and before you even blink, Saints are up 21 or 24-0, and it's like an avalanche issue. I mean, teams don't even know what happens. It happens so fast. With that crowd. The only game I made this year was the Falcons game, and I was at the NFC Championship last year, so my friends are telling me I'm not allowed to die. They're telling me I'm not allowed, but I went to the Super Bowl. They won in 09 in the Super Bowl when I went, I was at the Favre game. I mean, I hadn't been bad luck forever. It's just a recent. The Saints never lose except for twice I've been there, so I don't know. We'll see. There's potential. First of all, we got to pull for the Vikings this weekend.
Sure.
A lot.
Huge Vikings fan.
Yeah. Cousins had never won a Monday night game, but, all records got to end at some point. Green Bay, nobody wants to go to Lambeau second round. If Green Bay gets that 2-seed, the Saints would very likely be heading there. And I want selfishly, I want Saints home game January 11th playoff. LSU National Championship Monday, January 13th. Both in NOLA. I want this. Everyone wants this. This is good for everyone.
Wacky, crazy weekend.
I think it's good play. And up here, I'm going to go even further. I want Cowboys Saints the 11th. Up here, Indy, we've been waiting on we call the Shreveport apocalypse of the Cowboys and Saints playing playoff, man. I'm telling y'all, it's hilarious being in Louisiana, but the dynamic up here of the Saints Cowboys, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it's like both fans up here will like stay to cheer against the other team and stuff. And they were in the same, they're not in the same division. They play up. It seems like they play up 2 out of every 3 years. But I mean, it's a crazy real thing. And you know, just in day-to-day life, it's a real, real wild deal. I'm obviously Dak Prescott puts him off here too.
Sure,
that certainly adds to it.
Dakota Prescott.
Yeah, Dakota. Hey, Dakota Ray Prescott. Speaking of that, Cowboys Eagles NFC South. NFC East Championship game, basically. I apologize. 3:25 kickoff on Sunday. Dallas, a 1.5-point favorite. We broke down every angle of this game yesterday on Mixing Up a Mess with our good friend Cassidy King, the owner of Pizza Rabbit CA. I mean, other than Philly being at home, I like this. Philly's like a, I mean, they're out there, they're a court. I mean, they take so many guys out. No Alshon, no Deshaun Jackson, no Aguilar. Greg Ward, a former Houston Cougar quarterback a year ago, is one of their best receivers. I feel like Dallas should get it done tomorrow. Dallas has owned Philly recently in the series. Zeke Elliott's 5-0. They beat him 37-10 earlier this year. But you never know. I mean,
Let me ask you, Ben, how worried are you about Dak's shoulder injury right now? I think it might be a big deal. I'm not really hearing a whole lot about it.
I really don't know. I mean, I've it's one of those things they're keeping it kind of quiet. But, I mean, if, certainly when I think about the Philadelphia Eagles, their secondary is trash. I mean, they've got torched all year. Dwayne Haskins torched them last week. He hasn't done for 200 yards against anybody else. Dak crushed them first game. I mean, I am a little worried about it.
I got to say that, I mean, I would think that Dallas is going to try and focus pretty heavily on running the ball.
We saw them do that last week.
That's one thing that Philadelphia's defense actually can handle. You know, if they could throw the ball, then Philly would be in a whole lot of trouble. But I think it might be a close game than you're predicting.
Well, I don't know. Look, when I say that, I mean, Philly's got a great home field advantage for the NFC South. Doug Peterson, Monroe boy, great coach. I mean, you got to expect it's going to be a close game that, for what stakes for this as they are at the NFC. I do think Dallas is a better team, though. And that's also Philly. I mean, look at the last 2 weeks. Could have lost the Redskins and should have. Very easily should have lost both games to Cellar Dwellers.
I think the big X factor in this game actually is the coaching. Because Philadelphia's coaching is far, far better than
that. CA's back in the studio, and he called me out. I kind of made a comment with Josh Booty on the radio saying that it would be fitting if Garrett's tenure ended with a loss, kind of choking a game like this. But under Dak, the boys have been 13-3, 9-7, 10-6. I mean, they hadn't really choked any big games the last few years. And I was saying that it would be fitting because I remember it seems like every year they're playing a game at the end of the year for the NFC title. But I'm kind of leaning the more and more I think about it, them getting it done. And obviously, doing sports radio in this area, I always want to see the Cowboys Saints and LSU do well. It's good for business. And, you know, it is what it is. That's going to be a good game. Other games to touch on, we mentioned Green Bay, Minnesota Monday night. Minnesota's a tough dome to go to, too. The skull horns drive crazy, man. Minnesota, Vegas, it's a weird line. I thought Minnesota would be favored by 3. Green Bay's a public.
Bigger than that, right?
5.
Yeah.
And no Dalvin Cook. I like Minnesota. Come with it. I just think Vegas, I mean, why would they not make a Minnesota by 3? Green Bay's like a public team. I don't know. It's just they're baiting people to take Green Bay. I may be going conspiracy theory, but when they go high with it, it makes me feel like they like Minnesota. And also, one thing I've seen through the years of Green Bay, their O-line has trouble when they play fast pass rushes, and especially in, like, dome-type games. I think Minnesota's speed on defense is in trouble. Well, Cousins is a really bad record on Monday night, though, and Aaron Rodgers is a really good one. So.
Green Bay's a defense you can run on, too.
Yeah, they have a good pass team this year, though. They found Zaire Smith and Preston Smith, and they upgraded that pass rush a lot of stuff. And it's weird to see on Green Bay, Vegas doesn't respect them this year. I mean, their lines are always a couple points lower than you think. And Green Bay usually is such a public team. It's just kind of a little odd to see that. I just want Minnesota to win because, you know, I'd love the Saints to get the one seed, but I just think getting top two, getting the bye, and a game in the dome is very, very important. It's a big difference between being a three.
I think as a Saints fan, I would much rather see Green Bay come to the dome than Minnesota.
I can see that. Minnesota knows how to play those dumb games. It's weird. I think the NFL, the dome games are so different than the cold weather road games. I think that's part of what makes football fascinating. And Minnesota knows more how to play those dome games. I've seen Green Bay struggle with dome games through the years. But a bunch of other good games to touch on this weekend. Well, I don't know if it's a great one, but Baltimore's trying to clinch home field and number one seed at Cleveland. They actually lost that game. That was one of the weirdest results of the whole year in the NFL, was Cleveland 40, Baltimore 25 in Baltimore, which is the last time the Ravens lost, over 10 weeks ago. And I don't know.
How did they ever beat them?
Chubb went off. Chubb went off of Lamar Adams. That was the one. I think he had three turnovers. Wow. It's the only way. That's one of the wildest results I've seen all year. But that game's going on. That's an interesting one. There's some other pretty interesting ones this week. Saturday ones, as I said, are very, very good. Sunday night, Chiefs-Bears. You got the Sean Payton lookalike thing. Well, my voice sounds like Pat Mahomes. That's my lookalike. And, I mean, literally, if you hear Mahomes talk, I'm a little more fiery, but it's out of hand. I mean, it's he's from Tyler, Texas, too, so I think it's like the East Texas, North Louisiana draw. Something, but someday I'm getting Pat Mahomes on this radio show. It's manifest destiny, and
it's gonna be hard to tell who's who.
I want to do a thing where he talks about World Series of Poker and I talk about football and see if anybody can tell a difference. Kind of one of my that's my all-time bucket list dream segment. At this point, I think that one would be a heck of a lot of fun. Well, we're gonna take a commercial break. More from the Great Refereeing Happy Hour live from the Pro Superior when we come back and listen to Mixed Up with Myths, presented by Local Injury Attorney Kyle Robinson. I'm taking it.